Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Ocio, again, Lee. This is Will Bluewater coming to you from East Tennessee. And can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, we're continuing problem with, you know, normally I can plug in a headset and I don't know what's been going on, but we're on a cell phone tonight, and we don't have a lot of time. Mark's only got about a half hour, so we're going to introduce Barbara Savage. She's president and founder of Tribal Trust Foundation, and over the past couple of decades, she served as the president and founder of the foundation, I'll let her tell you more about it, but they produce documentary films and do what they can to preserve the living arts of indigenous people. So, Mark, go ahead and we'll talk about her Mayan birth site.
Well, her birth was on the traditional Mayan day count was on the day 6 Kaban, which is the commands the Earth glyph. The six kind of relates to testing, things to learn and change, evolve, and move into, especially things that relate to imbalance or things being unbalanced. And
like our Earth.
Well, the Kaban is sometimes called the Earth glyph. It also relates to knowledge and wisdom and kind of sometimes a good potential, you know, a great potential, strength of potential there. And so it's a very significant glyph. If you look on what the thing they call the Aztec sunstone, the symbol that actually surrounds the world cycles is actually a their version of the Kaban glyph. So it also represents movement. And in that particular thing, it also can relate to earthquakes and earth movements. So
that, look out.
Yeah, well, it would definitely be relate to us. Now, the next part I'm going to do is reading. It's in the Sixth Sun Zolk'in, and it's more from the perspective of the next world cycle coming. And it has three components, a forward flow of time, a backward flow, and where these two time flows come together or unify, unity or a zero point. So we'll start with the forward time flow because that's the way we normally perceive time. And in yours, it's all about, now this would, so this would relate things kind of since you were born and moving all the way forwards to now. It's about things about beauty, art, creating things, especially using the power of intention in the creation of those things. A lot of it, you might have find in your life a lot of things connecting, especially possibly the two things. One is just creative idea and energy and stuff coming literally from the sun.
Hmm.
Our largest, you know, local energy source.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more to a sun than most people think. We tend to think of the sun as, you know, something that keeps us warm and, you know, gives life to planet, light, and all that stuff. But we tend not to understand some of the other aspects potentially of the sun more than just on a physical level. We usually don't consider it too much on the spiritual level. What's it doing? What's its purpose, not just the physical level? And so that's where it could be helping you in terms of creating art and the intention of things.
Mm-hmm.
You also seem to have potentially a well above normal average connection, in especially with two systems. One would be our planet Venus, and the other would be the Arcturus star system. Edgar Cayce had a few things to say about Arcturus that you might want to go read about.
Yeah, and I used to live in Virginia Beach. How about that?
So, I don't know if he ever mentioned much about Venus. I don't recall, but I know Arcturus he did.
Okay.
On the on the backward flow, this is probably things happening more recently in recent years. Getting stronger, and usually we pin down somewhere around the year 1997-98, a little bit before, a little bit after that, but these type of things may be getting stronger or showing up or influencing you more or part of your purpose.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about kind of nurturing things, helping things grow, producing things, especially a sense of belonging and natural
mm-hmm.
ways. Real big thing on bringing things together and creating a state of oneness.
That's true.
Lakesh, in Lakesh Mayan or Omotakeyas in Lakota or Namaste, and all, people, different ways of saying, you know, how people recognize the spirit or the divine or whatever in someone else as being part of themselves, how everything's
mm-hmm.
one and connected, or the web of life might be another way of saying it too. It's tied in with serpent, snake-type energy. brings about into instinct, life force, sacred power of things. I also have in this cycle, the thing kind of governing that particular cycle would be the jaguar. So you may have seen some jaguar things show up in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Recently.
I'm on my way to the Amazon on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, down in Central America, South America, down through, jaguar is really considered almost a lot of times one of the top totem spirit animals.
Mm-hmm.
Eagle in the Maya and those traditions and the Aztecs and stuff, they usually have two major things, eagle and jaguar. So, but yours
that
is right. More jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an overriding thing here, too, of the challenge of, you know, the positive and negative polarity or plus minus, whatever you want to choose to call it, how those two and the balancing act between them. And so that would
be
from now, where these two.
That's my life purpose. Yeah.
Where these two come together and kind of create the zero point or the doorway or bridge between worlds that helps you. But it's also a major, probably a major component of how you help others move across from one world to the next. Yours is really all about soul, joy, keywords, forgiveness, big one. The liberation of things through that, on all levels, personal all the way up, you know, from down on your own personal level all the way up through all the other people, all the way up to Creator.
Wow.
In fact, this particular day is in a cycle which is in the sixth sun called the Hunepku cycle, or Creator cycle. So in this particular Zolk'in, he has his own cycle here now, the whole thing to his creators. But this is a particular one that really focuses on it and brings you a partnering energy with Creator, especially how to work in the current moment, what people call it, you know, the now, which you could interpret also as just being the zero point between the two time flows. But it brings you additional ability of being able to be a person to bring harmony into a situation, you know, create a sense of harmony would be a... So harmony, forgiveness, joy, and how that affects people on probably even more on the soul level, even as much or more than the physical level. It's bringing in, again, that same aspect of how having everything to come together as one. It has that again here as a thing. So that's probably a pretty big, maybe the whole focus right now for you. And there's different ways you do it, but that's in the end, that's probably what you're moving towards.
Wow, that's right on. Right on. I just wrote my memoir, and that's the theme, that we are one. And peace and harmony. So that's really interesting, isn't it?
Yep, that's we call him the Badger because he really knows how to dig out the facts, and he's literally the star of the show. But before that came on, you know, about 8 years ago, it was pretty dry, you know. But I was fascinated to hear from Mark. And did you get done, Mark?
Huh?
Did you get done with the reading?
Yeah, hold on just a second. There's one other thing I'm going to take a look at real quick here and see if... I would look, too, again. I think learning about in the Central America and all that, the snake and the serpent energy... And probably also, if you don't know already, go do a little bit of research about what the Hopi call the twins at the north and south pole of the planet. that might be something that's worth you learning about and looking into.
Okay.
Yeah, so just look up the Hopi twins, the North and South Pole, and it might be worthwhile looking into that and researching that. There might be something in there that stands out for you or, you know, fits in with other things you're working on or doing.
Yeah, no, I already know how it fits in. So I didn't know about the Hopi twins, so I'll definitely do some research on that.
Outstanding. And Mark, we know you got to back out. Go ahead and take off when you need to.
Yeah,
oh, okay. Mark, do you have any questions for Mark before we move on with you?
Well, no, I think he really nailed it. I think, you know, everything he said is true. I mean, from the beauty piece, that my background is art. I used to have art galleries, and I've always supported one of the ways the Tribal Trust Foundation has supported some cultures is through honoring their indigenous, you know, artwork, crafts. Matter of fact, right now we've funded a project with the nettle cloth of the Mompas, the hunter-gatherers of central Bhutan, the original people of that Himalayan country. So, again, it is harmony. It is about, you know, peace and harmony through beauty and healing. So, yeah, just there's so many things when he was reading. I couldn't believe it because the Tribal Trust was also involved in, we just met today about a reconciliation movement so that the President of the United States we're going to petition how this country, you know, how it came about was through bloodshed. You know, we have to acknowledge that first before there can be that healing of that deep ancestral wound. So, yeah, the work of the Tribal Trust is actually very broad with its mission to share indigenous wisdom in support of nature and global healing. It's expansive and inclusive of so many issues that as the founder and visionary that established the foundation, which now it's just going to its second level. Now I'm actually not president of the Tribal Trust after almost 20 years. I'm really happy to see that the foundation is gaining momentum and it's now more of a collective vision. But I'm grateful for the reading that you just gave because it helps to give me clarity in knowing that I'm living my purpose, you know, even as an elder now, moving the mission forward.
Well, most of our guests feel like they've been read like a book when Mark gets done, and that's the desired effect because it moves guests to really dig deep down and tell us about their path and so if you want,
yeah,
you know, the time is yours. You know, how'd you get on the path? Well, you know, when did you start?
Yes. I can address that. I know we don't have a lot of time, but basically they were spiritual callings. And he, you know, again, you were right on with the 1997. I got divorced in 1996, and the world as I knew it completely changed. And I opened up to spirit. And then I was getting callings. They came in either meditation or in the dream time, where the medicine people in these most remote areas in the world, like the Kalahari Desert in Namibia, the Assam Bushman medicine woman called me there, and I had never even been to Africa. You know, I didn't know where I was going, and yet I did know. I mean, I looked at a map, and I knew where she was. Like, I knew where I needed to go. And sure enough, that initiative of just showing up, hearing from the Hunsi community what was going on, the president of Namibia was intent on genocide. We filmed them at their request and facilitated a male initiation ceremony, and we took done edited footage. We gave it to a representative at the United Nations, and they blocked the president of doing that. So that community is alive and well. So, and then same thing with the pygmies in the Congo, the Mabuti. If anybody gets on the website of the Tribal Trust Foundation, they'll see these videos, and it's all of this was done at the request, any documentation at the request of the indigenous people, because they wanted honor and awareness not only of their culture but as a form of protection. So they're definitely, I'm after 20 years of the project being really being birthed from again, the dream time or meditation from another technology, right, indigenous technology, spiritual calling. Now the indigenous people know about the Tribal Trust Foundation, a lot of them. So we're getting requests in a more, I guess, Western mode, you know, for various projects all over the world. So it's exciting because it's all about, you know, it's the prophecy we're living. That's why I love this program, because we are the prophecy keepers. We are all living the prophecy.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's important. We're back. As a matter of fact, I was hypnotized one time for a healing ceremony, and I went back to the 1800s when I was the daughter of a shaman, a Native American little girl, and I literally relived the genocide, watching the genocide of my people. It was the most painful experience. Didn't feel very healing at the time when I was crying while I was hypnotized, but I literally went back to that moment and realized, you know what, that little five-year-old girl is within this 61-year-old body. Like, those are the eyes I look through. I am just passionate about wanting to bring honor and awareness of the power and the values that we need today, that the indigenous people hold in their beingness. So it's really for the world to benefit by helping indigenous people you know, preserve their culture and share their knowledge. You know,
You were talking
to me, that's
about
the most important thing.
Yeah, and you were talking about, you know, getting callings and invitations through spirit. Have you ever heard of Tom Blue Wolf?
No.
Tom, I interviewed. Now, see, we've been going 12 years, and this program, and I interviewed Tom. Probably in the second or third year. Now you've heard of the Rain Queen, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess the elder queen passed away, and then there was a new younger woman, and that woman contacted him in his. Well, she learned his address, his physical address, and contacted him. And said that she had been contacted by an elder who was in the spirit world from his tribe, and she had been told that certain songs that had been vouchsafed into the spirit world during the Trail of Tears. Now, he's a Creek elder, Muscogee Creek, and she invited him to come over to Africa and to get these songs restored. And I thought that was fascinating. And we did a program with him years back, and we haven't reconnected with him. Probably ought to see if we can get our producer to reach out to Tom. And of course,
yeah,
he's my friend. He's a Facebook friend, but yeah, we'd like to hear. But anyway, and then I recently met another elder that knew her. It sounds like you're ahead for what, Manaus? You're heading for the Amazon?
Yeah, and I don't know exactly where I'm going, because we're meeting with a tribe in Peru in the Amazon, and there's only four of us that are going there. And we've been invited because the Tribal Trust Foundation is an affiliate member of the International Funders for Indigenous Peoples. So I know that there's the Shipibo, I guess. I haven't, on purpose, whenever I meet a new tribe, I'm not showing up as an anthropologist, so I don't look up any information on their culture. I just show up in two people meeting. You know, how can
that's
I help
right.
you? But I always
ask. That's the way to do it. Yep.
So after I meet them, then I'll but I'll learn from them about their culture. I don't need to be Googling it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly where I'm going because they're very protective of their, you know, between logging and
right.
And the oil business. They don't want tourists. They don't want this community in particular. You know, they're just trying to maintain their hunter-gatherer way of life, and that's what I'm, you know, I'm totally supportive of. And the Tribal Trust Foundation, again, we are really there to support the requests of, you know, Indigenous peoples for them to, you know, we support grassroots sustainable cultural preservation projects. So basically, we help, you know, rekindle that flame within their community with whatever needs they identify. But at the end of the day, it's for them to preserve their culture. You know, we're not going in to change anything or to take our ways. It's for them they know what needs to be preserved and what they want to carry forward and into future generations. And usually, though, right now with what's going on, it's about Mother Earth. I mean, it's all the requests, like the Mabuti. I show up in the Congo, and they're like, please, we are children of the forest. We can't survive without the forest. Well, hello, none of us can survive without our forest. None of us can survive if we just continue to exploit our natural resources and not honor and respect our connection to everything.
That's right.
So I feel like, the prophecy that I feel like we're living, I mean, we're doing a radio show, so you don't know what I look like, but I definitely have white hair, white skin, and yet no matter where I show up in the world.
Yeah, your photo is up. Your photo is up, so everybody can see it.
Well, but it's that diversity, you know, and it was Black Elk, you know, the Holy Man Black Elk, he prophesied this time when the old ones we were all coming back to bring peace and harmony and unity to the world, and because we're in crisis, and so we have to show up and in a big way right now. So again, thank you for this program, because this is a wonderful initiative that I'm sure has a ripple effect, not only in documenting the words of various peoples in the field championing this cause, but it also, hopefully, anybody who's listening will be inspired to take action themselves. That's the key, you know, for everybody to do their part. Not everyone can be traveling around the world, you know. It's really not what's needed. It's for people to look within themselves and answer their own personal calling.
Well, unless I miss my guess, it sounds like you're either moving toward or you're already a United Nations non-governmental organization, an NGO. Is that kind of...
Yes.
Yeah, you can tell us about that.
We're not United Nations,
all
but we're a non-profit. We're a 501c3. You know, so that's the other thing that I wanted everyone to know is that the Tribal Trust, what we are doing now is we're providing fiscal sponsorship for other organizations, other people who have projects, Indigenous projects that need funding, but they need that 501c3 status and to get donations. So assuming they are aligned with our mission to share Indigenous wisdom in support of nature and global healing, then we can provide that for them.
Well, that's wonderful. Sounds like you've got over the years you've been able to make some good friends and might have some, maybe not deep pockets, but pockets nevertheless.
Yeah, well, we've been creative in different ways to fundraise for sure, and. Yeah, we have been we're very grateful for a lot of our big donors, you know, people that do have wealth, that understand the importance of this cause. But actually, a lot of the work that we do doesn't even cost money. Where, you know, a lot of times it's about just supporting let's talk about the Dakota Access Pipeline right now. The Tribal Trust, the president, is daily on the connecting through email and telephone with the Lakota and helping to organize supplies, to there for the winter camp that needs to be established. There's so that no money is actually going through the Tribal Trust to make that happen. It's our expertise. So Bob Warnsky happens to be my husband. I'm so happy he just stepped up to be president after another president stepped down. And we work as a circle, you know, as council. So anybody could really be president with our council. He's a lawyer, he's a nonprofit expert. So the Tribal Trust is one of the skill sets that we bring, where, again, it's not always about the money, sometimes it's about just making connections with the right people who can take action and have a positive outcome.
Outstanding. Well, if you like to, the main focus of this program is to help people understand how to get a direct connection with the Creator. So, if you feel like it, and we're talking about, I kind of look at it as a technology. Long forgotten, you know, how do we cultivate dreams, visions, and so forth? So through the years, I'm sure you come to realize that it's kind of like a muscle, and if you need to exercise it or lose it. So, yeah, if you could shed any light with folks.
Sure.
Everybody's different. You know, there's the Creator works in mysterious ways, and when he said that, the Creator meant it, and it's just amazing. But it's also amazing how bigoted people can get about, well, you know, God talks to me in a certain way, or Creator talks to me, but the way you're describing him talk, and I always say him, you know, they look at some other person and say, oh, well, you know, that's not the way Creator talks to me, therefore you must be of the devil or something. But, you know, you hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I've been following these dreams and callings, spiritual callings, for 20 years, but I never until last year and until right now I was uncomfortable sharing my personal story because I thought people would think I was crazy. So unfortunately, if someone asks, like, how did that tribe, you know, the electricity that is surrounded by militia, like, how did you know that they need help? And I was very creative getting out of telling the story because, again, I didn't want people to, I was afraid that it would affect the credibility of the Tribal Trust Foundation. But now I realize, you know, this is something that needs to be here because I don't believe that I'm that special. I really believe that I've just opened with humbly just saying praying to the ancestors, you know, every morning I meditate for 10 to 20 minutes and I don't have any bells and whistles and usually nothing happens, but once every 1 to 2 years, I mean, it's really that timeline, like one project is completed and another request comes in, it seems to be. But I would suggest for people to basically just try to get find the peace within, first of all. I mean, if you're not at peace, you're not gonna be open to receive a calling. So the most important thing for me is always to just get really settled and quiet. And the first time I received a calling from Africa, I had given away television. I've given away my music, and I just prayed. I just journaled and I went on hikes. I connected to nature, and I got really, really quiet. And that is all I needed then to open up. And now I don't have the luxury really of having all that time that took about 2 months of self-imposed exile on an island in Florida that just got me really on track, my purpose in life. So I really encourage people to know their ancestors are wanting to talk. They're wanting to communicate. They want to participate in the healing of the world.
Yeah, and it's up to us to kind of become the clear channel. And I know in my own experience, and I think it's probably true with most people, that spirit, the creator, usually comes on like gangbusters. And then as time goes on, creator is showing you all kinds of different ways. With me, particularly with dream symbols. And I mean, symbolism is something that I've looked at, you know, since I was in high school. And because I travel with an international singing group called Up With People.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And
yeah,
and we there was of course when you're writing songs, there's a lot of symbolism that's used. And I mean, since
Kate Green, I have to ask, did you travel with Kate Green?
I traveled in 71, 72, and doesn't sound familiar, but we had three casts that year.
Okay. She was a good friend of mine, and very, you know, like she's like us.
Yeah. Just tell her, you know, I was in 71, 72, and I know, you know, that whole crowd. They know me, but there's all kinds of ways. Up to and included, the creator actually taught me to use. Pay attention to something called Rebus. Now, Rebus, R-E-B-U-S, is literally a language of pictures. If you wanted to, for instance, the word that just popped in my head was stronghold, and to get somebody to understand the word foothold. You know, they show you a picture of a foot, and then somebody, you know, holding something, and that'd be a little bit harder. But eventually, you know,
okay.
You'd figure, oh, you know, it means foothold or whatever. And
I've had the same. So the pygmy that came, the medicine man that came to me in a lucid dream two nights in a row, which is what took me to the Congo. He, you know, I don't speak Mabuti language, and he did it through pantomime. So it's sort of the same thing. He showed me, he showed me this big, so he told me what was going on. He showed me this huge tree trunk, a big tree. So then I was like, okay, you're a forest person. And then it was chopped in half. I'm like, okay, so deforestation is an issue. Then he carved it out, and then what happened is the carved out tree trunk ended up overfilling up with lava and overflowing as a volcano. So then I was like, okay, where are there volcanoes in a rainforest? I knew it was the Congo. And then he got inside of it and had that little pygmies have distinct bodies, you know, and we had like a little Buddha belly is what I would call it. And he laid in the dream, but it was lucid. I mean, it was like he was right in front of me. I could touch him. He laid in the middle of the tree, the carved out tree trunk that now became the overflowing volcano. And he was laughing. I'm like, and I was asking him, well, how come you're not burning up? How come you're not in pain? I mean, this is hot lava. And he laughed and he said, well, I'm one with it. So I was like, whoa, this is kind of the intelligence of that I like to tap into, you know what I mean, with just really understanding through consciousness that we are connected to everything, and that is where we need to, everybody needs to wake up to that. And that's where, that's when you get the real peace. But yeah, I totally, I love the symbolism. I get excited. It's almost like a game, right?
Yeah, it is. It makes it fun. And, you know, rarely, you know, will I get a voice. Usually when I get a voice that's telling me something, I don't see anything. I mean, back in 98, spring solstice, and you probably noticed that you get more messages, you know, during the solstices. At least I have.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it, and but on the spring solstice of 98, and I found out 10 or 15 years later that spring solstice of 98 was the beginning of the week of 9-eek in the Mayan calendar, and my day sign is 9-eek.
Wow.
And anyway, I was just told, a voice just said, in the future, the year 2005 will be known as the year of the great havoc, because the weather will become so bad that it may even shut down computers all over the planet. And wake up and write this down.
Yes.
So I did.
I get that too.
Yeah. And I've had some other ones, so I obeyed.
Do you ever argue? Do you ever argue and say, "I'll remember. I don't want to get up. I'll remember. I do that."
Oh yeah, yeah. And matter of fact, you know, that morning time is usually just as I'm waking up. But I've had, you know, I've heard from deceased relatives, like my first wife passed away in Canada. My first wife really taught me how to listen to spirit, and then apparently it was pre-planned that she was to walk west at a certain time, because I don't know, about a year or 9 months before she passed away, I was literally told the middle name of the woman that I was supposed to marry. And,
wow.
And that's a story I don't have time to get into. But eventually, you know, it turned out to be the lady that was, she was her best friend at that time. I just didn't know her middle name was Joe, J-O.
Oh,
and
yeah.
But I had a dream, you know, where same period of time where I saw my first wife walking toward me, and there was a woman to her right that was about a half a head shorter, but the woman had no face. And Joanne motioned her forward, and a woman came forward, kissed me on the left cheek, and then my wife disappeared off to my right. And in that other dream, I was told another woman was going to another woman will be joining the family, and her middle name is Joe.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah, and that's exactly the way it worked out. And about after my first wife passed away, we got married, and 5 months later, her brother unexpectedly passed away. And we all gathered down to their mother's place, that's in Salina, Utah, and Litchfield, actually. And that we're all sleeping on her floor. You know, the funeral is going to be the next morning. So just as the first light of dawn, you know, was coming on, his voice came to me, and he was very jovial, nonchalant. He says, "Well, I guess I'm dead," and he laughs.
Oh, my
God. He says, "Tell Mom that we're Paint Clan on the Cherokee side and Wielded Sword Clan on the Celtic side." Now, later on, we found out that their name Larkin was a modern form of O'Larkin, and which is the oldest Celtic clan. And after my first wife passed away, it was a very short period of time. She came to me and she says, "I'm not dead," and and she's well, it was prearranged. You know, she knew she had a mission in the spirit world, and she said she'd be, you know, taking care of me and our son, and she's done that. I've seen her literally dozens and dozens of times, and you know, some things have been really dramatic, like when she was one morning. Well, I left graduate school to move back east and work directly with my own people. I was in Utah at the time, it's just amazing. You know, I'm really upset about that.
I think that's what, you know, people, our listeners need to understand that that they can access this too, you know, this communication. Sure. It just, like you said, it's like a muscle. And I started out, another tool that helped me, believe it or not, were tarot cards. It just helped me learn to trust my intuition by, you know, using tarot cards. And I tried runes for a little bit. Like, I tried different things like that just to open my intuition, so when I had a dream that I could interpret it better.
I met a lady back in 2009 in Shreveport, Louisiana, and she had been one of the top three psychics in Edgar Casey's organization, and she left because they were literally beginning to worship the man, and she said, that's not right, and we don't need to do that. But she told me, and I was messing around with, I like Zolar's astrological tarot cards. They're really interesting. They have little messages on them. And what was so interesting was the first time I did a layout, there's a way you can do a layout that will literally give you like a 30-day reading of things that are going to happen. And the first time I laid it out, the basic message was, is somebody's going to blindside you, it's going to be real bad, you know, he's a brunette, and he's middle-aged, and it even gave me the eye color and told me this stuff that was going on. And at that time, I was working with the Southern Cherokee Nation. I literally put together or recruited 1,000 people for Gary Ridge. And Gary Ridge decided that I don't know whether he thought I was going to becoming a threat or whatever, but he told some lies to some clan mothers, and they found out later that they were lies, and they turned their back on him. But for some reason, I found out the reason why later was he was assembling the Southern Cherokee after the Civil War. Congress came within one vote of actually separating and making them a separate nation, and because they were the slaveholding part. They lived in the southern part of down around Weber's Falls, but they pretty much were more of the, and a lot of people don't understand that, the Trail of Tears, the traditional real Cherokee left early. And it was the planning class people and the ones that really, they weren't religiously observant or anything. They were the ones that walked the Trail of Tears.
It's really sad.
It's really sad. Well, other than, you know, there was a group of holdouts that saw these people. They held out in the mountains, and there was an army soldier that was killed, and they forced the Konolufti. So the Cherokees had a choice. They could stay in the east and get mile square reservations, or they could walk. And they would have ridden in style. They would have gone by carriage, steamboat, shoot, if they'd had, you know, in luxury. And a matter of fact, the ones that did go to Oklahoma did get that treatment, but the ones that stayed, they got the bayonet point treatment.
Right. Yeah.
And but it's so sad that, you know, the eastern band, they're probably more culturally Cherokee than most of the people in Oklahoma, with the exception of the Catoosa. But the Eastern Band, they play off and show people the Trail of Tears, and they never walked it.
Here's something that I want to share. That is this summer in July, I wish I had the dates right in front of me, but I'm sure you'll hear about it, but I want to be one of the first to tell you that there's going to be a trail of peace and unity in Greenland. Greenland is a country that has never seen war, and Unaka is a shaman there who's organizing this international gathering for peace and unity. So it's my intention to bring children there to do it. Basically, you would be arriving, obviously, at the airport, and then to get to, then you could, people have the option of walking, I think it's two or three days to get to where the gathering's going to be, but it will be a sacred walk. So that would be pretty neat if, you know, a lot of the Native American community could participate in that. It would be very healing.
Outstanding. Well, why don't you, my time is limited tonight also, why don't you tell folks, you know, how do they find you, or your website, your
So TribalTrustFoundation.org, that's the website. And like us on the Tribal Trust on Facebook, and you can follow and see what we're about. We're redoing our website. We're going to have a blog up there, and we'll have a whole section of all the all the projects that we are the fiscal sponsorship for, like Black Elk, Texas, Myron, Poirier, and so many. So so I look forward to continuing the conversation through social media.
Sure, and this the show will be archived. You can there's a way you can put up a link showing your picture, you know, a player, you know, and it'll be up there. It'll be up there for a long time.
Okay, great.
If it ever does cycle out, you know, you might want to download a copy of the show, and because after a few years, it'll cycle off.
Oh, yeah, of course. But thank you for what you do. It's been an honor to have this conversation, and I really, really, really support you and your mission.
Well, thanks a lot. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in youth agency administration or nonprofit agency administration, but I never have figured out fundraising. So
it's a challenge.
Tell your folks to ask them to say a prayer for Prophecy Keepers to keep us on the air. But I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you. You guys take care. Bye.
There you go. Okay, bye bye.
Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us. And you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
They can't break our spirit.
Well, I've seen a man.
Friends, this is Will Blue Otter, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aklavan Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away's a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley. Mountains high.